All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Bible says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authority in heavenly realms." Boy, I could go off right there. I'm going to go off for a second. You know what? On Tuesday, we're going to vote. We're going to vote in the two primary candidates are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And Paul says that the manifest wisdom of God is that through the church, his wisdom would be made known to those two people and more. I'm telling you, I don't think I have heard either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Sanders come to any churches saying, "Can you give me the wisdom of God?" And I am telling you, God's plan is to wreak a change in this culture and in our community through the church. Watch out. Whew. I'm not even preaching on this. "According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, with freedom and confidence, Lord, the ability to step into the most holy place, Lord, to be washed anew, to be transformed in our very existence, Lord, to leave our past lives behind, the pollution of our lives, the pollution of this culture, Lord, that would fall off like dead scales behind us, Lord, and we would run with reckless abandon, Lord, the race that you have set forth for us, Lord, that we might acclaim that prize, Lord, that we might step into the fullness of your kingdom and be transformed, Lord, and in eternity to grab onto infinity, Lord, and to know you, that you would be glorified in us, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
I might get a little bit lit up today, folks. I haven't even started yet. That was Roki just letting me off there, yeah. Last week, my wife took off. My wife went up to L.A. for something. I can't remember. Oh, it was a little kid's birthday party, a little six-year-old birthday party, a niece, a nephew, I think. And took J.J., took Joe. Is that right? Is that why she left? Yeah, okay. Just checking on that. I just know that she was going to be gone until Monday night, leaving after church, and I was going to have some man time, you know, just some downtime. I was going to watch the Padres get whooped, as they've been getting whooped a lot lately, and I was going to work on the cars. I was able on Sunday afternoon, head on down to the junkyard, get me some parts, do all this kind of man stuff. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about. All right, and so I come back from the junkyard, and I'm doing my man thing, and I'm walking to the living room, and I catch this kind of, whoa, what is that? I'm going, whoa, was that me? No. And there's just a little bit of rot in the house, you know? And some fruit, you know, over here, yes, fruit, threw it away, you know, and I was like, okay, man time, good, you know, do some wrenching, it's all good. And a couple hours later, I come back into the living room and said, whoa, there it is again. You know, and it's like I'm trying to chase down this smell, and I just can't find it. And I think sometimes our lives are like that. You know, we're just moving on down the road and everything is good. And whoa, what is that? And we try and chase it down and we just can't put our finger on it. There's some stink that follows us around. Just can't find it. Just can't fix it. And these problems like this keep us from finding victory in our lives. And they keep us from shining. Yeah. This new series we're going to study into the middle of the book of Ephesians is called Shining in the Sun. Jesus hung on a cross so that you could shine. Amen. Jesus hung on a cross so that you could be transformed in your life and leave the death of your life behind. Amen. To leave the stink behind. Jesus hung on a cross so that you could shine in the kingdom. My question for you this morning is are you shining? Are you being transformed? Are you finding that fullness? Do you stand firmly and squarely in the kingdom of God? And for many of us, the answer is yes and no. Because for many of us here in this room this morning, we have accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We took communion. Thank you, Pastor Scott, for leading us in communion. Jesus' death on the cross, his blood sacrificed for us that we might have new life. Amen? And the problem is we've got some of that stink following us around. And so we say, yeah, I've got new life. I'm planted firmly in the kingdom of God. Whoa, what was that? And what happens is in our new life, where we're new creations in Christ, we're dragging some of that old along with us. Can I get a witness on that? And what Paul is saying, hey, to the church in Ephesus, you got to leave that darkness behind. And as you come to the Lord, you have no clue how much darkness is really with you. And so often you are blind to the darkness that stays with you. And every once in a while, whoa, that's not so good. It's hard to push back the darkness in your life when you're dragging it with you. Amen? You find that? It's like, whoa, I'm trying to push it back and I'm dragging myself. Got to leave the darkness behind. New series in this book of Ephesians, Shining in the Sun. Deal with the darkness so that you can start to shine. Title today is Leave the Darkness Behind, because Jesus hung on a cross so you could come into the kingdom and shine. Amen? Amen. Are we good? Amen. Tracking? Yes. Got your attention? Yes. I got my attention. All right. Change from above. We're going to read from verse 14. I give you the intro. It says, for this reason. I wanted to read that intro to you so we would know what that reason was. Make sense? Yes. So we're all tracking now. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Everything starts with God. Amen. Paul realizes as he's dealing with issues in this church, And this movement of the gospel among the Gentiles, that he can't get it done. And as much as I try, I can't get it done for you. I can pray for you, and I have prayed for many of you. I will do better, and I will seek to pray for all of you this week. Because I realize that no matter what I do, unless God does a work, I am wasting my time. Because we are ill-equipped to be part of God's plan, to shine in His kingdom, unless He starts out something in us. God is building a kingdom. God is making His family. I have from chapter 1, verse 5 up on the screen, talking about He, God, predestined us, that He chose us from the beginning of the creation. You don't stand here because of something, Jackie, you've got here, and it's not because you decided to come, but it is because God has decided, I'm going to do something in Jackie. I'm going to do something in these fine-looking young men that she has brought this morning. Roki needs to get to church today. Why? Because I'm going to speak through Roki. Each person here today is here because God would do something in you. Now, you get to say no. You can choose the darkness instead of shining. That's not my job. That is His job. On what you choose. Our job here is to make you come to a point of choice. Some people are going to be lost. Jesus says, it's a wide road that leads to destruction. There's a whole lot of people on it, but it's a narrow road that leads to glory. Amen? Amen. God brings us to His kingdom, makes us kingdom kids, part of His family. He takes the lead. And you can jump on board. Amen? Yes. Kingdom plan includes kingdom glory. This is a power thing that we're talking about. Paul is talking about an outpouring of glory into the church in Corinth. He is praying that the fullness and the power and the presence of God will be poured out. And he's praying that this outpouring would come on a kingdom scale. We're going to talk about that scale in a moment because it's a big scale. It's an entirely different scale than what we're used to. Amen? Amen? Let us keep going. We are improved by the Spirit. Reading on verse 16, that He would grant you, see there's that first part there, according to the riches of His glory, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. That's a whole lot of glory. Can I get a witness there? See, God lives and dwells in glory, and from that glory that He would pour out into your lives. Take a little bit of that, amen? I mean, you might have polished yourself up this morning. My son getting up, got to get beautiful. No matter how beautiful you get, God's glory being poured out into you is on a whole new scale. Amen? Out of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man. Inside you that you would be fortified, that He would do a work in you so that He can do a work through you. Sound good? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So you can't get there on your own. Jesus can't come and live in your heart, in your soul, lest God fortify you to begin. It's like He'll blow you up. You can't handle it. And so Paul is saying, I am praying that the Holy Spirit would come and begin to do a work strengthening you so that you could handle the glory of God, that you could handle the presence of His Spirit. Because if He doesn't do that work, you'll just get exploded by the glory of God. You can't handle it on your own. Work in us that prepares us for the presence of God. We need the Holy Spirit to even start because we're born broken. We come limping into our lives. The powers of this world, the power of darkness, slap us down. And we get used to it. Whoa! We don't even realize that it's around us. So you need kingdom power to stand. You need kingdom strength to push back the impact of this world and push back the impact of the darkness. And Paul is praying for that miracle in the lives of the Corinthian church. And I am praying for that miracle in your lives. I am praying for that miracle in this church, that through this church, the manifest glory of Christ would be manifest. And the devil gets in the way. Anybody drive this morning? Anybody have to go around that stupid car out there? That's a devil move right there, man. And so often our lives are like that. And that dude, I'm sure, I think it's a, well, anyway, I don't care. I told Tommy, man, I said, man, old Pastor Bob's coming out on that car right now. I just got to forgive me, Lord, and forgive that dude, and move on. But he probably didn't realize. Joe, JJ, and Lisa come back home Monday night after they went to the birthday party and did all this stuff. And I'm there, you know, and I've cleaned the dishes and stuff. And the first thing Joe says when he walks in, whoa, what is that smell? I didn't even know. You know, I was catching a fierce whiff every once in a while. But I got used to it, you know. And I'm like, what, you know. And then Lisa comes in, whoa. And Paul says, man, God's got to do a miracle in you to even start. See, God wants you to shine in the kingdom, but you're dragging around death with you. And we just stink, and we don't even know it. Christ wants you to come into the kingdom to shine. Amen? All right, let's keep going. We okay? I hope I don't explode up here. It's like, whoa, he's gone. All right, here we go. Salvation brings stability. Salvation. Yeah, I like Ephesians, man. You haven't been in Ephesians. I look, man, it's been 4, 5, 6 years, I think. A long time. Salvation brings stability. Read in the second half of verse 17. And I pray that you, Paul again, speaking to this church in Corinth, I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power. Say power, would you? May have power with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And, I mean, you can stop there, right? Wide and long and high and deep. Whew, take a breath. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To know what you can't know. To know what it takes, a supernatural act to wrap your mind around. I'm praying you got the height, width, depth, and length, and the unknowable, knowable thing that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Everything is built on a firm foundation, folks. Kingdom starts on a new, with a new starting point, love. This is sacrificial love. This is agape love. I shining in the sun, right? Kind of rhymes, all that kind of stuff. I came up with the Spanish one, descatar en Dios, because I looked it up on Google. You know, it's like there's D, you know, kind of rhymes. Okay, there we go. Nobody knows what descatar is. Even the Spanish people, what is descatar? I'm saying, Carlos, it means like to press ahead in God, right? But nobody knows the word. I said, Carlos, you get to define a new word that nobody knows. You get to load it up. That's what they did with agape. Agape was like this semi-unused word that meant love, because they didn't have a word that meant sacrificial love. They had all kinds of different words for love. And so they grabbed onto agape and they loaded up with the sacrifice that God makes. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Agape, sacrificial love. Jesus so loved that he hung on a cross. Agape, sacrificial love. Paul says you're going to shine in the kingdom of God. You got to be firmly rooted and planted in this sacrificial love. It will transform your life. And that is what points you to the fullness of God. He says it's a whole new way to live. He said it is a challenge to even comprehend. See, God's love is infinite. It just keeps going and going and going. And it's like it runs off the sides. And you can pursue it and pursue it and pursue it and never get to the end. To get to the fullness, You have to be firmly planted in the kingdom. And it will still take an eternity to grab onto the fullness of God. You see, it takes eternity to grab onto infinity. Not even a, ooh, I thought that was pretty good. You better start now if you're going to get there. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay. Enough with the bedazzling you with my vocabulary. Okay. The church provides the path. Now, this will blow your mind. This will blow your mind. Now, to him who is... there's a lot in here that will blow your mind. To know what you can't know, the height, width, depth, and length, all that stuff. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think... that's big, amen? According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. To him, if you got a Bible, underline glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The church provides the path for glory. The church is the mechanism by which God would shine on our culture. The church is the mechanism by which Donald Trump would come to understand who Jesus Christ is. The church is by the vehicle by which Hillary Clinton would be transformed in all the stuff she's been doing. Surrender her life to the Lord. Question is there a church that's shining on them? Is there a church that's shining on this community? I pray that it is us. God chooses to work through the church. That height and width and length and depth is poured out into the church and through the church. The church is like a giant fire hose that the glory of God and the Holy Spirit just goes, and so many of our churches are clogged. So many of our churches are filled with darkness. Churches like nothing else on earth. It is intended to be the manifestation of God on this planet. And there are so many who are not happy with God's manifestation. They would rather make it into something else. And they do a lot of work improving on God's plan. And what they do is they say, we got to get more people in. We got to widen it out a little bit. And pretty soon, God's path is so wide, you can't tell it from the wide path that leads to destruction. Can I get a witness? Because when we start messing with the path, we start messing with the target. Can I get a witness on that? We always have to remember it is the narrow path that leads to glory. God manifests himself in the church to receive glory. And God manifests himself in the church to display glory. Jesus said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Amen? You shining? Called you into the kingdom to shine. The explorer is not doing too good. 225,000 glorious miles on it. And the timing chains are a little loose. I have a tensioner in my, actually on the console of the Volvo down there, which is running fabulously, thank you. Also has 133,000 miles on it. But I'm going to do some wrenching. Some man time after church today. But it is majestically displayed on my lawn. My wife is not happy with that location, but she was gone this week, and I came out of the garage doing some stuff, and there is the Explorer majestically displayed on my lawn, and the sprinklers are on. So I went over and I turned those sprinklers off, and I ran inside and grabbed a towel. Started washing that Explorer, drying it,
do the wheels, aluminum wheels, start get all that brake dust off. They start gleaming. And it's sitting there in the same spot. But it's looking a whole lot better. I'm not going to say it's shining, but work's been done. Paul is saying, I want to do some work on you. I want you to shine. I want you to be a display of God's glory. So I'm going to pray for this church in Corinth that the Holy Spirit would come in and begin to do that. And that they would transform their culture. And I pray that the Lord would do that same thing here. That He would begin to put a shine on you. And that you would begin to transform the people around you. And through that, we would transform this culture.
Amen.
Amen? All right, let's keep going. We okay?
Yes.
Just checking. Anyway, all right, we're just going to go. Walking with a willingness. Now it gets uphill. Kingdom kids act like it. Kingdom kids act like kingdom kids. Chapter 4. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the call. Gets a little steep right here. Amen? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's tough. That's steep. That is a challenge. See, we need to remember who we are and how we got here. I said Church of Corinth earlier. I'm going to read for Church of Corinth now. He's talking to the Church of Ephesus. Church of Corinth, he says, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what I was. A bunch of those things on that list describe me. Paul finishes that text, and that is what some of you were. Paul also says that we were enemies of God when he reached down from heaven to save us. Because of God's great love, he reached out and saved us anyway. We need to live our lives in response to this type of love. And there's sometimes not a whole lot of effort that goes forth into that. To move into sacrificial love means that you come here this morning looking for what you can give, not for what you can get. Roki, you were tripping when you brought that prophecy today, right? Probably everything you're doing, no. God said, yes. Sacrificial love makes a sacrifice. Sacrificial love changes everything. Sacrificial love, look how it can give, not how it can get. We need to live our lives in response to God's love, in response to the cross. God gives us a new way to live. God gives us a new way to act. And so many of us are defined by our past, our choices, the death and the darkness that we drag with us. And Jesus says, no. And Paul says, no. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past and the new has come. We baptized Sharon last week in here, and under the water and out. Death to the old and life to the new. You get a whiff. Whoa, what is that? Get some help. Get here on Monday night. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Find out what that stink is and get some help on getting it off your back. Can I get a witness on that? Because it's hard to shine when you stink. Can I get one amen on that, Tommy? Are you tracking with me? That bow tie is just constricting his neck. There's work to do. Bear with one another. Find unity and find fullness. I'll tell you what, it's tough to sidle up next to somebody who's stinking when they don't even know. And they're trying to get away from you. Man, you smell this dude? It's bad.
Paul says there's challenges to our growth. We can be tossed about by the lies of the enemy, by the lies of our culture. Have to leave all this behind and grab onto the kingdom of God. One thing is quite plain. God receives little glory from our culture. Amen?
Amen.
So if our Lord does not receive any glory, don't grab onto it. Don't grab onto it. All right, last thing. God brings us all together. And I'll read to you from verses 4 through 6. There's one body and one spirit. And just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God brings us all together. We got all this drama behind us. Our pasts are entirely different. We have immorality, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, theft, greed, drunkenness, pain, destruction, and drama in our past. It requires too much rehab, too many 12-step programs to be able to deal with all this stuff. But as we begin to move towards the kingdom of God, and every step you take towards the kingdom draws you closer to the person who has also taken that step. Amen? So we don't need to worry about so much how we're in relation to one another. If we line up on the Lord, we automatically draw closer to one another, and we can support one another. We can find assistance because luckily there's normally some people who have already taken that step before us. Amen? That is the whole key to Celebrate Recovery. We've been down that road before. We can help you, and we can maintain your balance as you learn to keep balance on your own. Monday nights, come on out. Learn to stand. It'll treat you well. Put a focus on God and things get better. I don't care where you're coming from. As we step closer to God, we step closer to one another. And the closer we become, the more glory we receive and the more glory we give back. I'm going to put on a kingdom shine. God called you into the kingdom to shine. Lisa, you want to come up? Come in here today, and many of us dragging a little bit of darkness behind us. Can be hard to leave it behind because it's always been there. Darkness in your home as a kid, it was in mine. Darkness in your school, it was in mine. And we just become accustomed to darkness. And Jesus comes here this morning and says, I've called you to something different. I've called you into the kingdom to shine. If you're going to shine in the kingdom, you're going to have to leave your darkness behind you. And he says, and I realize this is a challenge, because when I came to the Lord, darkness is all I ever knew. The Bible says men loved darkness rather than the light, and that was me. But Jesus says, as you leave your darkness behind, I will replace it with glory. And Paul tells us that God's glory is a never-ending glory. And the more darkness you leave behind, the more glory you're able to receive. Maybe this morning you walked in darkness. And the Lord is speaking to your heart right now and saying, this is for you to be completely transformed in your existence this morning. Maybe you come in and there was a whiff you caught on the way in, and it indeed was you. And there's been a little bit of darkness and you haven't been able to find it. Try and turn around, it's always gone. But it's been keeping you away from the Lord. You know the Lord is your Savior, but there's some work to do. the Lord is saying this morning, we can do some work. Because I've called you the kingdom to shine. I want to clean you up this morning. And you need to make the decision this morning. Will you let the Lord put his hands on you and to begin to cleanse you? Maybe start buffing you a little bit. Letting that dullness and darkness being replaced with glory and shine. Because you can't stay where you are. You can't stay the way you are and shine. He's got to put his hands on you. And we've been taught in our culture, ain't nobody going to put his hands on me. But you can bend a knee. Paul bent a knee and said, I'm praying, Lord, just put his hands on you and begin to cleanse you and shine you. To pour his glory into you. That you would be transformed, that you would be made new. That means that you can't stay the same. You're here this morning, and bow your heads with me if you would. You're here this morning and you have walked into this place in darkness. You do not know the Lord. You have no hope of glory. But this morning he speaks to your heart and says, my son, my daughter, I will save you and I will put you on the small path that leads to eternity with me. That you would comprehend the height, the width, the depth, the fullness of me. You would say this morning, Lord, do a work in me, do a miracle in me, that I might receive your Son to abide in me. Holy Spirit, come, fortify my soul that I can even handle it. Come in here this morning, surrounded by darkness, surrounded by stench, and the Lord says, I will clean you, welcome you into my family, give you access into my kingdom that you can shine. And you're saying, Lord, that is what I want this morning. Lord, I want to know you in a mighty way.